This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. We're live with Mark Mencher, co-founder and CEO of GameRecruiter.com, who will give us tips on how to get a job in the game industry and hopefully how to keep it. Tonight is October 21st, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So
not,
you would say even if...
Okay,
I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
How the hell did you guys get Rocky Horror into this show, wanting to do the hogwash again? You guys. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Head on over to our chat room. Go over to live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments and questions. They have to be intelligent, though, from chat throughout the night. And you can also check in if you're logged into VogNetwork.com, just like Degenerate Johnny and Tiger Claw. They were the first two. Sorry, Flacco Jones and Mako, you just missed the cut. But you could check in, get some points, hopefully get some loot pretty soon, or if you're listening to on the podcast, somewhere during tonight's show, you'll be able to hear a tone and a passphrase that you will be able to put into the VogNetwork.com site to get your points and loot. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. But tonight, we have an interview, and unlike the interviews that I've been doing the past couple weeks, this one's actually live. He's actually sitting on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Mencher is here on the line. Mark, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing awesome, Bobby. How are you guys tonight?
We're all doing good. Everybody's already got all their beer or whatever that they've got in the chat room. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
All righty. Well, I started off in the video game industry 27 years ago as a game programmer. So my first job out of college, I was actually working at a robotics institute, a company called Cincinnati Millicron, made the robots that you see making the cars in the manufacturing plants. And we were doing a project with Carnegie Mellon University, and I was living at Carnegie for a while, and at night, the guys would take over the computer system at the college, and that was the first time I saw a networked video game. It became Asteroids in the market. I saw that game. I realized I was in the wrong industry. I went home. I quit my job, moved to San Francisco, walked into Spectrum Holobyte, which was at the time called Sphere. I walked in and had a degree. They were like, a degree? You have a programmer with a degree, and you want to work in the game industry? Because, of course, 27 years ago, you were a freak or a geek if you wanted to work in video games. And I said, sure, baby, sign me up. So I've been doing it ever since. Started making games, worked on the first flight simulator, the first racing game on the market. And then as I got promoted, I had to start to hire my own folks. And I got to tell you, the recruiters out there really sucked. They just didn't understand really what anyone was doing. They're just matching buzzwords. So I fired all the recruiters I was working with, and I started to learn how to hire myself, how to be a recruiter myself. And so here I am, a programmer on the phone, talking to other programmers. Well, duh, that's easy. Mm-hmm. And since, of course, done game design and producing and all these kinds of things over the 27 years, that's what I do. And everyone at my company comes from the game industry, ex-producers, ex-game designers, ex-art directors. And we work on jobs that the HR department doesn't even know exists at the video game company. So we're working with the board of directors, we're working with the CEO, and we're working on all their strategic jobs. So I get the luxury of working on the really sexy, hot jobs in the industry. And I'm one of those guys that you fantasize about having managing your career, because I've been doing it a long time. So that's us.
So, and Dungeon Buster in our chat room goes, whoa, Spectrum Holobyte. That was one of the best way back in the day. So I guess I need to ask, what did you work on at Spectrum Holobyte? What games have your name in the credits?
Vet, we did Vet, and of course Falcon. So I worked on those two games, and I'm embarrassed to say because the code is nauseating today. Just to look at it, I mean, it's just a joke. It's spaghetti code, you know. But yeah, so that, and when I went to 3DO, I was going to work on Twisted, but I made it 3 days at 3DO, and Tripp came into the office and said, "Mark, I need 300 people for 3DO Studio. I hear you can hire." So yeah, so there my job just sort of changed naturally because I was good at recruiting, you know what I mean? So, and I really found that I enjoyed managing people's careers and recruiting and negotiating their contracts because, you know, a programmer and a game designer and an artist, you guys are creative. And, you know, I have some creativity too, but I guess I have more of a business head. I'm just, I get what the stock means. I get what the salary means. I get what the benefits package means. So I don't know. It just naturally worked out for me, and I built a company around it. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's really refreshing. I am a programmer as well. I'm not in the game industry. I'm more in the IT industry. But having like HR managers just like throw random jargon out, and I'm like, it doesn't matter if I know what XML is because that's pretty easy. But to them, that's like a huge thing that they're like gauging things on. So it's kind of nice to hear that there is a recruiter out there that actually kind of understands the technology instead of just the buzzwords.
Yeah, in fact, my new article, which I'm going to be posting, I don't know, I'm just trying to figure out which magazine to do it in. I'm writing to hiring managers on how to actually hire and vet a game programmer, because I'm going to pull my hair out of my head if I hear about one more hiring manager asking a definition question. God. Who cares what the singleton theory was? I mean, my God, we all know this when we go to school, but when you're a programmer in the industry working, you look it up. You don't remember. Buzz, you don't remember words. This is not how you test a programmer. Yeah, so I'm writing an article about it because I'm getting crazy.
But I do remember that because, you know, they're like, okay, so what's obsolescence in C++? I'm like, I used to know that in school.
Yeah, right, exactly. Let me look it up now like a normal programmer does. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. So, but of course, you know, we've gotten very corporate in the game industry. So unfortunately, we have people who don't understand the tech doing the hiring. Right. So you got to give them the buzzwords that they understand. You know, right. So when I help the people I work with write a resume, I help them write a resume that reads to someone who knows nothing about video games, but also reads to someone who knows everything about video games. So, you know, you got to realize there's a few audiences looking at that resume, and you got to make sure you design it so that the numbnuts get it and the people who get it, you know? So,
VXJasonXV in our chat room says, vet? Did he just say vet? Oh, God, I miss that game so much.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know? I can't even play the racing games now. I get so sick watching them. It's funny.
So you help people get into the game industry, and one of the things that you like to talk about is how to get noticed, because there are probably people that are listening to this show that would love to get a job in the game industry, and you know, you have some tips of how to get noticed and how to actually land that job. So the first thing is, before even trying to get a job in the game industry, what should someone try to do in terms of their background? What should they prepare before even sending that first email to in a response to a job opportunity?
Well, it's so easy. You got to figure out what your love is. What turns you on? Are you an artist? Are you a programmer? Are you a game designer? What are you? Are you biz dev? Are you IT in games? Are you a web portal person? I mean, what do you like to do? Are you a community manager? You know, what is that thing that turns you on? You know, our industries are unique. Most of us are motivated by our passion, and that's why we get into the video game industry. It's not necessarily for the paycheck, although it's not a bad paycheck, I got to say. You know, but, you know, you got to follow your passion. So what are you? An artist, game designer, producer? And then, of course, if you're an artist, you can't be a jack of all trades. You got to focus in. You know, what do? Are you skinning? You know, are you what? You know what I mean? Are you an animator? Are you a texturer? Are you a modeler? You know, focus in on what you do and rock it out. No one is a generalist and no one is good at everything. So that's what I tell people to do first is figure it out, focus. You want to be a programmer, figure out the discipline, AI, figure, you know, networking, whatever that is inside of programming that turns you on, you know. So that's step number one. Step number two is to figure out what part of the industry you want to be involved with. You can't look at the video game industry as one big industry. It's not. We're broken up into segments. We are the casual social mobile industry, which is on fire right now. We can't hire quick enough in the casual social mobile space. I've got clients. I've got to hire 200, 300, 400 people by December. It's never going to happen. You know what I mean? That's just too many people. But I can name companies right now who are ready to hire hundreds of people, and they can't find the talent anywhere. Now, of course, if you look at the MMO space, another industry, it's games. But again, you got to realize console games, PC games, serious games, medical simulation. You know, there's segments of the industry, and you got to figure out what segment you want to market yourself to. All right, so you figure out you're an artist, you figure out you're a programmer, and you know now that you want to go work in a casual company. Cool. Now we've narrowed it down. So now you know what skills you got to train yourself on, because of course the casual game companies use slightly different software than of course a console game company is going to use. So you got to, you know, train yourself in that area, and then of course then put together a demo. You're not getting a job in our industry. I don't care what you do, marketing, business development, programmer, artist, do not matter. You must have a demo. It must be online, and it must be something that communicates who you are quickly. No downloads, no nightmare to get to it. No. No horrible music. No. You know what I mean? It's just got to be clean, to the point. All right, so then you got a demo. You got a resume. You know, you've trained yourself. Then you figure out what companies you want to approach yourself to. And, you know, job hunting is not an easy thing, and it's a job, and it's a numbers game. And people need to realize that job hunting is like playing Pac-Man, and it's going to be no. And then you're going to start to get some yeses. And, you know, a lot of people just start crying after the third or fourth no. Well, big deal. So someone said no to you. You know, I don't know. So this, you know, I can get into this for a while, as you can tell, Bobby. I'm pretty passionate about job hunting. But what most people don't do is they don't put a job hunting strategy together. They don't think about a plan on how am I going to get from A to B and job hunt. They think by sending their resume out to job ads or by posting their resume on Monster that that's going to get them a job. That's called lazy. That's called passive. That's like playing the lottery. You sure, one or two people win the lottery out of millions. That's not how you job hunt. That's not – no. You know what I mean? Only 10% of jobs that are available are ever advertised. 80% of the jobs that are available are done through networking in the unadvertised job market, and that's where people need to be focused, is in the unadvertised job market when they're job hunting, not in what's advertised. Never pay attention to a job ad. I never do. To me, that's a lead.
Right.
You know? So ask me questions or I'll go on forever.
Okay. Well, actually well, we like this because, I mean, Rob Roberts in our chat room, he actually hosts the show on after. He's like, I love this guy's energy. He should be a motivational speaker. So motivate me, okay? So I'm gonna lay out, since I own the radio show, okay. I get to, you know, get free advice from you about my specific situation. The hardest thing that I've run into, other than the fact that I actually can't move away from where I live right now, is the fact that I actually have 13 years of experience doing programming in normal quote-unquote normal industries, the non-game industries and stuff, most recently doing web programming. And so every time I do apply for a game programming job, they're like, they're not looking for me. They're looking for a game industry veteran or a kid fresh out of college that just got with a game industry degree because he's cheaper. That's what they quote-unquote tell me.
Okay. And that is probably because you're approaching HR, and HR is sure going to give you that kind of, you know, that kind of response, because all they know how to do is to latch onto the buzzwords. They see that you got a lot of, you know, you got 10, 20 years of experience. They see that, but they don't get it because they don't know how it relates to the video game industry, and the buzzword's not there. So that's my problem with hiring managers. You know, if you know the GNU compiler, you know assembly, you know C++, well, guess what? You're 2 weeks away from being a PlayStation 3 programmer. Mm-hmm. But the HR department person doesn't know that, and the executive producer hiring the job doesn't know that. So if you don't have PlayStation 3, the buzzword in your resume, you're hosed. And that's what you're experiencing as well. You need to take those words and turn them into video game words, mm-hmm. and you need to show people, because frankly, I can get you a job as a web-oriented programmer in the video game industry by Tuesday. I've got three clients who are dying for that, but I know you're in Atlanta. Damn it. Again, excuse the French. So try not to curse on this show.
Yeah, if anybody's wondering, yes, we did have that conversation before, and he's like, "Oh God,
that's hard."
And I'm like, yeah. I have bleepers and stuff, but we're gonna try. We're gonna try to get through. He's not gonna Loki it up,
so
guys.
We're so good. I think I haven't been bleeped yet.
That's right. So once you get in, let's say you actually do get into the interview process. What is important to know before you get into the interview process?
Well, you know, you got to know about the company. You know, you got to know about your target company. If you want to work for EA Sports, you better know that company. You better play their games, and you better know who inside EA Sports are the leaders. You know, who's the tech director? Who's the hot shit, you know, guy on the programming staff? Who's the hot guy on the art staff or gal on the art staff? You know, you should know a little bit about this company before you walk in the door. And because they're going to ask you about some of their games, and they know some of their games didn't sell well, you know, I mean, not every company makes a hit game. They know that. In fact, they're deliberately asking you because they want to know that you say, oh, God, that game really sucked. You know what? I would have taken the player progression this way. You know, I would have programmed your animation system or your HUD system this way. That's what they're looking for in an interview, is someone who actually has an opinion and will tell them the truth about the game. They know that it didn't do well in the market, when they ask you. So it's just about researching the company, being able to talk real with the person, when you're in that interview. I also find most people don't know how to interview. They don't train the managers how to interview. You know, you got to remember that a hiring manager is only a hiring manager because they have to be. They got a team. They're managing a team. This is not really what they want to do. They want to be a technical director. They want to be an art director. But they've got to hire, and they haven't really been taught how to hire, which to me is if you interview me, I love someone who doesn't know how to interview me because I could take over the interview, which I always do. And I advocate for anyone in who is doing an interview. It's just a 2-hour performance. It's just a 3-hour one man show. It's the Mark Mencher show for 3 hours in an interview. You think I'm not going to do great in an interview? No, I practice my show. I have a great show. I always get the job.
So DJ Morpheus in our chat room, who's actually one of the other hosts on the network, actually has this question. I don't know if this is the kind of stuff that you place for. How do I approach interviewing for voice acting jobs when I live in the middle of the country? Do you do voice acting work?
Oh, that's so funny because sound and voice, the whole sound part, I do every other career, but the sound part is so one job a year I get out of the hundreds of jobs I'll get for an artist or a programmer a year. It's shocking, the differences. So, but you got to let the executive producers, the producers and the associate producers know who you are. And that's what it is. It's creating a list of and most of the time it's that associate producer, not the executive or the regular producer, making the decision for the sound. So I say, get on LinkedIn. Figure out your target game companies, find all the associate producers, introduce yourself, send out emails. Hey, I'm this, I do this, I do that, I have voice over here. Done. You know what I mean? That's how you get your name out, and that's how you're going to get that's how you're going to start to get some business, that way as a contractor. You know what I mean? Kind of, that kind of thing. You're getting on their radar.
ActDeft wants to know about game translators because he is fluent in both Spanish and English. Do you see a lot of those type of jobs come across?
Oh. I get those jobs all the time. They're so hard to fill. I'm dying for people like that. You know what I mean? Because, of course, we got to localize the game to another culture. So we need people who not only can speak the language, but who also get the culture. Because right. You can imagine the last thing we want to do is cause a problem. So the other day we were playing an online game. I can't remember which one it was. And it was totally a game for the Asian market. So not North American at all. And we couldn't figure out why this little fairy was following us around in the game. And, of course, we couldn't read anything in the game because it was all in Chinese or Japanese or whatever it was. So yeah, it was kind of funny, but culturally we couldn't figure out, all of us in the room, well, why is this thing following us around, and I'm sure if we talked to someone in Asia they would have told us what that all meant. But yeah, translation is really cool, and we need to do it. We do it all the time. We get a ton of requests for those kind of jobs, but there's also third-party houses that do that. Babel Media, does that translation kind of stuff. So a lot of that stuff is third-partied out as well. Just depends on the game company you're at. If you're at a large entity, they're going to have a staff that does it. If you're at a smaller entity, they're going to third-party it out to somebody.
Now, it's kind of funny. In our chat room now, everybody's like all excited that, that people can get – they can get jobs in the industry. So are they able to contact you? Or GameRecruiter.com is your site. Is that where people need to go if they're getting motivated by what you've been talking about?
Well, the thing to do is I can't work with people who don't have years of experience because, the type of jobs I work on are, I got to show them someone who's got 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 years in the industry. I'm not working on entry level jobs. But I love to help people get into the industry. So that's why I volunteer my time and I speak at colleges and I go around the country teaching people how to job hunt, even though I can't help someone without prior experience. You got to have at least 3 games under your belt that professionally have been, sold in the industry before I can represent you. You don't want to go to a recruiter or anyone representing you before you have several titles under your belt. You got to do the job hunt yourself. You got to market yourself, that way. A great resource for people is a book called What Color Is Your Parachute? It's been out since it's version 6,000 of this book, and it tells you how to put together a job search methodology. It tells you really how to focus yourself on a job search, because if you're not making phone calls every day like a recruiter, you're not job hunting. You know what I mean? If you're not making 5, 10, 7, 15 phone calls a day, you're not job hunting. So people just don't get that this is it's a job, you know?
And notice, guys, he said phone call. That's not email. That's not Twitter. That's actually picking up the phone and talking to somebody.
That's right. And you talk in English, not in Twitter talk, not in whatever text talk. And you send emails in proper English. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's got your job hunting. You know, if you want 100K, you got to look like you got to walk and talk and act like you're worth 100K or else they're going to treat you like you're not, you know. So, you know, proper English and everything, you know. So I'm really shocked when I see come across sometimes. I slap my guys around, you know, because I want their presentation to be perfect,
right.
You know. So but if you're trying to get into the industry, there's a ton of resources on the internet. You know, Gamma Sutra is a wonderful website. You know, a lot of breaking in stuff. If you're a programmer, gamedev.net, of course, a lot of resources there. There's the Application Developers Network, which has got some resources, you know, on that thing. What's that called? You know, so Gamma Sutra for sure. I mean, it's a great place to start. I mean, you know, just hit a search engine, you know, leveldesign.com. I mean, on and on and on. There's tons of resources out there to teach you how to start the process with your craft. And there's a lot of specialty schools as well out there.
Okay, so continuing on the story. Not only have you been, you know, you found the job, you've interviewed for the job, now you've gotten the job. And what I've seen in the game industry, and actually, you know, a lot of people who have listened to the show remember my episode from a couple weeks ago about how I was tired of hearing about layoffs. You've actually listened to that episode. So what can you do to minimize the chance of you being the one laid off after working on a successful title, let's say?
It's called stay awake. Just because you get a job doesn't mean you're now on vacation and you, oh my God, wow, I can relax now. And for 20 years, I'm going to sit at this desk. Hello, it's 2012. You know what I mean? No, we're in a high-tech industry that's changing all the time. Companies open and close all the time. If you don't like high-tech, get out and go work for IBM. Go work for some low-tech company. And sure, maybe you can hang out there for 10 years. But high-tech industry, it's intrinsically unstable. So when people complain about this, I'm like, well, you knew what you were signing up for. It's high tech. So the problem is that when you get the job, you got to keep paying attention. So the programmers get the job. They got their, you know, the artists get the job. They're working their job, but they're not watching the industry and where it moves. So they're not keeping their skills up to date. And that's why today there are 12,000 people in the industry that can't get a job. They've got 10, 15, 18 years experience. I read their resumes. I cry, but they weren't paying attention as the industry changed from console to casual social mobile, because guess what? Console's dying. You know what I mean? But it's also transitioning. So we're in a transition dying period right now, you know, whatever's going on with that thing. So those people are stuck because they didn't retrain themselves. But the good news is they can retrain themselves. You know, the casual social mobile space is dying for the talent. And frankly, they're sick of hiring children. I can't tell you how many executives this year have said to me, Mark, show me candidates that you come from the I want them to come from the old industry. You know what I mean? I don't want these kids right out of school anymore. I'm sick of that. You know what I mean? But it depends where you are in the industry, if they want kids, if they want mature talent, and it depends where you focus. Some of my clients have never done layoffs ever. Some of my game company clients, they work 9-to-5 jobs, regular, no overtime, none of this craziness you hear about in the industry. Well, you know what? If that's what you want, find those companies. You got to do the research. You know what I mean? So, and you got to be smart about your job hunt. You know, but those companies do exist out there. You know, Bethesda, ZeniMax, that entity's never done a layoff.
Right.
You know, they're like the sleeping giant in this industry. You know, WMS Gaming. You know, the gambling part of our industry.
Oh yeah.
Fabulous. I mean, my God, that company rocks. Mm-hmm. Never done layoffs.
Chat room. The chat is actually kind of hilarious. Taking it kind of hilarious about you saying IBM is low tech.
Well, meaning, you know, you can have a boring job making, you know, business software, fine, you know, if that's what you're into. And yes, it'll be more stable and it might even be slightly more pay initially, but there's no royalties, there's no bonus program, you don't get to work on video games. I just think, you know, people who go into the game industry have that passion. They want to work on something a little bit more intriguing than an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay. So we got a couple more questions here from chat. Dark Soccer asks, is there a market for manual designers, as in print manual designers, or is that going away now?
Yeah, gosh, that used to be. And God, I was just talking to one of the board of directors at IGDA, and she runs a company that does exactly that, you know, because at this point, a lot of companies just third party out the box design and the manual design and everything and the manual writing. And I'm just, wow, that industry is kind of going because we're all going online. You know what I mean? In a way, we still need it online, but we don't need it in paper form anymore. You know, so it's kind of morphing as well. Right. Everything moves so quickly in our industry. It's just you gotta pay attention. Even me as a recruiter, I had to retrain myself 2 years ago. You know, the markets changed so quickly that a job that I've done for over 20 years, all of a sudden, what? I got to go back to school and teach myself. And I did. You know, I swallowed it and did it, you know, because, you know, I want to be able to survive in this new economy. So you got to always keep your skills fresh.
So, okay, so Mako in our chat room says, say I have actual experience worthy of a job, but I live in the UK. Should I even bother looking at US or Canadian jobs and potentially immigrate to them?
Well, why? The UK's got a fabulous game industry. In fact, older than the America, as far as I'm aware. Mm-hmm. There's lots of companies out there dying to hire. So why leave the UK? Don't even get. But coming to America is definitely a challenge these days. It doesn't open again, the visas, until October. And the first 2 weeks of October, you got to get your application in or you're not coming in the States. The only other way to come in the States is to join a company like Activision or whatever, who's got a UK studio. They've got a studio in the United States. You got to work for them in the UK for a year. After you've worked a year, they can L1 you to the United States. Getting into Canada much easier than the United States. So, you know, yeah, but a brand new H-1B, no one's going to do that. Unless you are a rockin' programmer or a rockin' artist, unless you motivate that staff, yeah, to process that visa, which is rare these days, you know, because it's just such a pain.
We're talking with Mark Mencher from GameRecruiter.com, motivational speaker as well as a game recruiter. So if you have any more questions, we got a couple minutes left over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Soccer, who was asking about the manual designer, she can do digital as well. So is there, I still see, like, in games, they have the in-game, like, digital manual that still looks like a
sure.
PDF.
Sure, sure.
So that stuff, as long as you're, like, still good with, like, InDesign, I'm assuming.
Well, as we're waiting for some questions, let me just tell people, like, the most important things about job hunting, you mm-hmm. know, so that they get it. You know, number one is your resume must be in a Microsoft Word format and not the brand new one, not DOCX, nope. DOC, or RTF, or TXT file. No PDF files. Hello out there. No PDF. Here's what happens. You send your resume into the HR department. We're all computerized. Your resume gets scanned. If your resume is hostile to that computer system, you're not going to have a good file in the database. You're not even going to get a reject letter from Electronic Arts or anybody. Nothing's going to happen. They're not going to know you applied to the company. Why? Because you decided to put your resume in a PDF file format. That's a vector file. It cannot be scanned. It's hostile to a VC. You know, no. So simple resume. Do it on Microsoft. You know, you do save it as the old version of Microsoft Word, so you know any scanning software can read it. No images embedded. No fancy schmancy, you know, Times Roman, Arial, simple, boring resume. And make sure every game industry buzzword is on that resume you possibly can put on there, because you want your resume to come up every time. They're coding you. They're reading through the resume. They're looking for buzzwords. They're coding those buzzwords. And every time a new job opens in HR, they go to their computer. Okay, who's got level design, Maya, with code word, mail, scripting, whatever they're looking for, JavaScript, whatever, you know, and you want your resume to come up every time a job opens, today, tomorrow, next week, next year, so that they keep calling you for that job. And if that's not happening, your resume is not right. So, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm sending my resume out and no one responds. Well, that's why. So file format is important. Number two is don't write a resume and tell me you're a producer. We all know what a producer does. We all know what an artist does. Tell me what you can do. You know what I mean? You got to just, what did you accomplish as an artist when you were on the team? What did you do as a programmer when you were programming on that game? You know what I mean? That's what we're looking for in the resume. What did you accomplish? You know what I mean? Forget the objective statement. No one cares what you want. All we care about is what can you do for us when we are hiring you? Sorry, but that's the way it is. So, you know, I really just recommend people put their name, Mark Mencher, whatever, on your resume and right underneath. Bam, 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 bam. What are the points that sell you? Right. You know what I mean? And depending on what you are, You know, you decide what you put down. If you're a programmer, you're going to put down, you know, C++, whatever, you know, platforms you can program on, you know, iOS, whatever, you know, whatever those words are. If you're an artist, you're going to put together, you're going to put all those words, those buzzwords down. And I just buzzword it out right under my name, mm-hmm. you know, so that that computer is picking up all the buzzwords and coding me correctly in their HR system, you know, because you're going to be routed around, you know what I mean? Yeah. So you want to make sure you're routed correctly. That's the biggest mistake people make.
And I'm glad I never made that mistake. My resume is in doc format. I'm so happy that I made the right choice on that one.
Don't segment it off and no columns and fancy schmancy. No. Simple, simple, simple. So the computer gets it and reads it and codes you correctly. You know, so, yeah, it's the most important thing. Another thing is target. You know what I mean? You can't, you know, not every game. You got to target your demo, you know? You can't go to EA Sports and show them science fiction art. They don't care. The art director won't look at it. Mm-hmm. He won't care about it. He's not going to say, "Wow, you can do a spaceship."
They're not doing Mutant League football anymore, so you don't need to send them your sci-fi stuff.
Send them light kind art. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, and I wouldn't even approach the hiring manager until I approach the rest of the staff. You know, I'm aggressive. I'm a little New York aggressive, you know, person. So when I job hunt aggressively as well. I target a company. You know what I mean? It's okay, it's EA. It's all right. I target the artists on staff. I get a few of them to mentor me. I show them my art. Hey, what's the art director like? You know what I mean? Great. Okay, now I figure out what the art director is like through some of the friends that I've made at EA. And then I approach the art director after I've gotten some therapy from these guys, you know, what that person's like, what the hiring manager's like. And frankly, when they're in a meeting and the hiring manager and the art director says, "Oh my God, we got to hire another artist. Does anyone know anybody?" You know what? Guess what? You've been networking with some of the artists at EA, and guess whose name's going to come up in the meeting? And bam, mm-hmm. you just got the unadvertised job that didn't even get to HR for signature, but you're right. talking to the artists, and they know your name, so they're gonna hire you. People hire who they know. So it's about networking, and it's about proper presentation, you know, demo and a proper resume presentation. It's really that simple, and then putting your head together and, you know, mm-hmm. walking through a plan. Yep. You know, get to that hiring manager.
So people have been talking about this, and Dark Sakura says a graphic designer's resume is also going to be looked at as a gauge of skill, and that's kind of why graphic designers have been told, at least in the non-gaming industry, to actually do send their resume as PDF. So what would they do if they've been told that about graphic design and maybe want to get into games? And
see, I get that. I do get that. So you know what? You submit a PDF and you submit another resume format, you know, an RTF or doc, mm-hmm. you know. So that you can show them that you can do the art, but that you got to give them you got to give a document that's scannable. I mean, there's just
they search and replace. They do a global search.
Yeah, so you know, give them two documents. So, you know, when you email that way. But I understand that some art. Yeah, I still don't. PDFs are they're horrible. You know, PDFs death. So they do get in the way. Right. It's a problem, you know. So because I know a lot of artists want to put their logo on their resume. I get it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I get it. But, you know, it messes with the computer. Yeah. So I don't like to do that. And, you know, you want it to launch on the screen when they're reading your resume because you know they're it's being transmitted around the company internally. But you know what? You don't know what email system they're using. You don't know what software they're using. So you've got to give it in the most common denominator, simple format. Because even though your PDF may look gorgeous to you, on the other side, in their system, that may or may not – you know what I mean? You don't know what it's looking like. So I don't know. I get it, you know, but I still encourage people to give the data because they want the raw data so your file is coded correctly. Because otherwise, you're not coming up all the time. They're just not going to see you. But I don't care if HR calls me. I'm not waiting around for HR.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm calling the hiring manager. Right. You know, that's just me. I'm not waiting around for a job. Are you kidding me? No. It's called turn the aggression on.
That's right.
You want to be noticed? Knock on the door. You know?
Yep. Mark Mencher, thank you so much for your time tonight. We had a lot of questions asked, and that was great. Any kind of final words? How can somebody get in contact with you if they do have three or four games under their belt?
You know, I am at Mark. M-A-R-C at GameRecruiter.com. And I will help anyone out who needs some assistance. If you're not a professional, it will take me a little bit of time to get to you, but I do answer every email that comes to me. I'd love to help people get in the industry. And, of course, if you do have several years of experience, I'd love to chat with you about our confidential, exclusive jobs that no one knows about except me, which is kind of cool. I love making those phone calls. I call people up. I'm like, hey, can I tell you about a secret job?
There you go.
But the good news is people really need to get that our industry is – we're projected to get to $81 billion by 2016. Mm-hmm. I mean, every market segment, 16% growth in casual social. The MMO virtual world space is growing to $12 billion. You know, the augmented reality applications is growing to $2 billion. I mean, the industry keeps growing. Yes, the console space, the traditional console PC space is having a little trouble right now. It'll get over it.
Yeah,
we've had this before. You know, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, we had a hookup. PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3, we had a hookup. We're having another hiccup again. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're changing to new consoles. So... yeah, but there's plenty of jobs out there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. And if you do contact him, tell him you heard him from me, because I think that'd be cool if one person was like, yeah, I heard you on Bobby Blackwolf.
Yeah, it's always good, and I'm always happy to come back and talk about specific topics. So nice talking to you guys tonight.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. We are going to be taking a quick music break, and this is actually going to be another music break we're going to play on the podcast. Professor Shy Guy, I met up with him at Siege. This is another piece from his album. This is called Chromonyms, and it's about an RPG that a lot of us have played before as told in homonyms. That's the way that he says it. So this is Chromonyms by Professor Shy Guy, ProfessorShyGuy.com. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Writing a new page in history, writing a blue wave. Hey, this is Oscar, and you're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show, home of a black wolf. He's a freaking wolf. Wolves are adorable. You should pet him. Or maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. Not that type of stuff. Thank you, Oscar, for the bumper anyway. If you want to leave a bumper that doesn't advocate petting things, you can either send me voicemail. You have to use the toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Or you can leave it on my send me an MP3 with just your voice on it, bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial. You can give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial. Get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's probably even a good audiobook out there about how to get a job in the game industry, so you can check that out, see if it's there. Anything, you can make it your free audiobook. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, or you could talk about, you know, your experiences trying to get a job in the industry. I think a lot of the stuff that he said also does carry over into other industries and other, you know, getting jobs, because a lot of it you can say, you know, that's good advice for any type of industry and any type of job, about, you know, knowing the company before you go in, and that, you know, job hunting is a full-time job in itself. A lot of that stuff can be transferred to other industries, even not tech industries. It's good advice in general. So I hope you got something out of it. And yes, I do believe that grammar is important. Grammar is king. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase active. We do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Oz? Breakman.
Breakman, do I even need to ask anymore? You're the only person that likes me anymore. Nobody likes me anymore.
Well, yeah, I was waiting to see if anybody else was going to call in, and so, you know, since they're not going to call in, I'm going to call in. I don't want to leave you hanging.
That's right. Other people used to call in. They stopped. They unfollowed me on Twitter and everything.
Weekly. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
So what's up, man?
So what's going on?
I'm asking you. You called me.
I have really nothing to talk about. Okay. I just wanted to, like, not leave you hanging there. What have you been playing?
So what's up, man?
See, I've been playing the same stuff, so that's right. Why I asked you what's your plan. So, yeah, I'm sure you don't want me to talk about Borderlands and Mass Effect again.
Yeah, well.
And Halo again. Although I'm very excited for Halo 4.
Mm-hmm. I'd think that. The awkward silence here. So anyway, I did play the Forza Horizon demo. That's the only thing I've really been able to play. That, and I played the Vita version of the PlayStation All-Stars Battle beta once. So that was interesting. So that's all I've done.
Hmm. So is it like Smash Brothers as it looks?
It is. I mean, I haven't, because unfortunately the beta is online only. Like, they give you a tutorial, and you can, like, play the tutorial, which is like, you know, to move, use the left thumbstick. I'm like, oh, really? Wow. And so they go through that and, you know, tell you what the buttons do, and then it's like, okay, ranked online match, that's all you can do. And I'm like, okay. And then it never connected for me, and I'm like, I give up for tonight. Because it's in beta, so I mean, obviously they were probably having server issues. Because I think I got like the first night, so obviously they're probably having server issues. They're figuring out what they can do, which is the point of a beta. So that's not a knock against them. It's better they find it out now. But yeah, it's pretty much going to be PlayStation Smash Brothers, which I'm okay with because I liked Smash Brothers. And this one will be online.
Yeah, I wish I had a PlayStation. There are so many games on PlayStation I want to play.
And that's changed.
I'm probably going to push.
And that's changed because for a long time, PS3 didn't have anything that was... I mean, everybody was like, oh, it's 360 all the way. Everything I want to play is on 360. And now Sony's doing a real good job getting a lot of these first-party games out there a lot better than Microsoft.
And they're still sticking with it, where you can feel that it's after Halo 4... Mm-hmm. Microsoft's completely moving on. Like that's the feeling that I'm getting.
Right.
Once Halo 4 releases, they're moving on to the Xbox 666 or whatever it is.
Whatever they're going to call it. The Xbox yeah. Next, Durango, whatever.
The next box.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Sony's sticking with it because Sony still, you know, has, you know, had PS2 games coming out. I think, like, there's still another PS2 game coming out in Japan this year. So it's, they don't give up on the old system. And the other, you know, Nintendo and Microsoft pretty much are probably going to give up on the old system. I don't know about the Wii, but I can see them really pushing the Wii U. And that's the other reason I haven't really gotten any new games lately is because I am going to be getting the Wii U because A, I'm a consumer whore, and B, journalistic integrity. So that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So I'm kind of saving up for that, even though I may still break down Tuesday and pick up Forza Horizon because I like racing games, and the thing that I didn't like that as much about Forza is having to tune the cars, which is basically what made it Forza. And Forza Horizon is basically Project Gotham Racing. It's Project Gotham Racing bought with the Forza cars and car sounds and all the love and detail that Turn 10 put in the cars. But it's an open-world Project Gotham Racing, and I'm surprised they don't actually use the kudos system, because when I always talk about stupid patents that are in the gaming industry, that's one of them. Microsoft patented the kudos system from Project Gotham Racing. So nobody else can use that system. So why is the kudos system not in Forza Horizon?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So what do you think is going to happen with the 360 when they move on? Like, because you know how the original Xbox was. They just dropped it. It was like it never existed. Move on.
I think like, I wonder Microsoft themselves will pretty much drop it. There will probably still be third-party games for it because there is such a large install base for the for that. But but the original Xbox, it was pretty much dead in the water, and so there was really no point in continuing to support it because nobody really adopted the Xbox all that much. I mean, a couple people did, but those that did moved on to the Xbox 360 pretty quickly, and I don't think we're going to see that this time around. But I think first party. Other than, you know, kids' games and stuff, I think that we're going to see
That's what I was kind of thinking, that we're not going to see a lot of people moving on. I mean, there will be, you know, probably sold-out pre-orders like there are for the Wii U, but there's going to be a lot of people like me who just really don't have the money and can't justify spending it on a new system when we have a system we like with games that we like. Some games I've never even played yet, you know? And you have no time to play games.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of stuff out there. And I mean, I can see, I don't know what Microsoft specifically is going to do. You know, Sony's got a pretty good track record of supporting the previous, unless it's a PSP. Then they don't really support it. But also, I mean, you got to realize that there's a lot, everything's going digital. So maybe, you know, you'll see a lot of third-party games. Third-party developers create Xbox 360 games that are digital that can be played on the next Xbox. And that's something we couldn't do before, really. I mean, you know, because once you kind of invested in doing the physical production, you needed to make an Xbox game or an Xbox 360 game. Well, now maybe we can make hybrids that'll work on either system or something more like that. You know, kind of like I guess I'm envisioning, and this is me talking out my ass, if you remember the Super Game Boy, back in the Super Nintendo days.
Yeah, I love the Super Game Boy.
There were some games that if you put the Game Boy cartridge in there, and it was like a Game Boy Color cartridge or whatever, it played differently on the Super Nintendo. It actually took up the entire screen, like Donkey Kong was one of these, that actually took up the entire screen. It wasn't an emulation.
It had a border on it, didn't it?
Well, some of the games actually removed the border. It actually played more like Nintendo game. It was very few games. But some of them actually took, and so they were able to release these hybrids that played one way, the same cartridge played one way in your Game Boy and another way in your Super Nintendo. And maybe we'll see more of that. I'd like to see more of that, but I can't guarantee that that's going to be what's going to happen. But that would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be cool. But, sometimes the game industry gives us cool, and then other times they give us the PSP Go.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Bobby. Have a good one.
So that's it. See, you know, he calls in, and nobody else even tried to call in. So it's not like anybody else was on the fence about calling in. But that's all that we're going to talk about tonight. So coming up next, they don't have it on. I don't think. I don't see them. Nope, they don't have it on. So usually coming up next is Orange Lounge Radio. Loki wants to point out though. They did have hybrid games on the Xbox 360. The Burger King games were both Xbox and Xbox 360 on the same disc. And I have all three of those games. So I don't know how I forgot about that. Because I own all three of those games. Sneak King was creepy as hell. So there we go. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, three people out in Sacramento, California who talk about games for much longer than I do. Orange Lounge Radio. Sacramento, you guys there?
Yes, we're finally here. I'm so sorry about that, Bobby. Fired.
I'm going to fire you now.
Not a great way to impress the guy who's recruiting.
I know. He's not even going to look at your resume. Your resume could be in PDF for all he cares.
I'm not going to put the Skype, knows how to use Skype. Can't put that on my resume.
No Skype buzzword.
I was signed into the wrong account because I used my personal account to do Horde House on one of the I was guesting on another show that it's actually a new show, so I can't, and I'm not a host. I was just a guest, so I can't say anything about it yet until it's actually released. But I was doing that on Thursday, so I forgot to swap it over to the OLR account. My bad.
So other than forgetting the Burger King games, is there anything else you guys want to correct me on tonight?
No. Your interview was great. That guy had a lot of energy. It almost like it kind of motivated me a little bit. Like, hey, Rob, you could be in the games industry maybe if you wanted to. But I'm really happy
in the games industry, and I want to be more in the games industry, or maybe in a part of the games industry that doesn't involve my company.
you missed the interview. I'll have to check it out on the podcast. It was a good. The guy had a lot of energy. It was a very motivational figure.
Some reps that I deal with in some of these third party marketing firms, they're like, dude, I can do your job better than you can do your job. I mean, come on.
Ironically enough, my day job, I don't talk about this a lot on OLR or your show, but my day job, I actually work as a corporate trainer in the insurance industry, we'll say that much. So I do kind of deal with new people a lot. I'm not involved in the hiring process per se, but I see the types of people that get through the door, and I see a wide variety of people. I'll just leave it at that. But I actually really enjoy what I do.
As opposed to a variety of wide people?
What?
Nothing.
Occasionally, you know, when the door swings open, flies do come in, so.
you'd be very surprised. But I love my, it's by choice that my radio job is my hobby and my teaching job is my paying job.
Me too.
I really do. I love it because I still get to talk all day and get paid for it. It's amazing.
So, anything else going on in the industry this week? I kind of haven't, because I knew this was coming up.
In the industry?
Yeah.
I'm getting sick.
No.
I'm a very sad person.
I heard.
Did you want to talk about that now, or you want to talk about it later, or what?
I can talk about it on the show.
All right. So, we've had a lot going on this week, personally, so we'll talk about that.
I heard you mention that you played the beta for PlayStation All-Stars, so you were just about as enthralled with it as I was.
Pretty much. Well, it was the Vita only version, because I think the PS3 version is for PlayStation Plus members only.
Oh, until this week.
Yeah. So, I never actually got into a ranked match. And so I just did the tutorial, which at least it was Parappa. So, I mean, if I had to choose a character to do the tutorial, it was going to be as that character. And I'm like, okay, this is Smash Brothers. And it's just, I kind of need to see more before I can really say if I'm going to be totally enthralled with it or not.
I got a ranked match, and then I was just like, okay, that's cool. And then I went on to something else, and that was it.
I can actually address something that's in chat right now at live.vognetwork.com. Nate4322 says, what do you guys think about the Nintendo Wii U? You know, funny enough, I'll give you this little preview. Not only did I go into a GameStop this week, I know.
You're fired twice now.
Not only did I buy something at said GameStop.
Now you're fired three times.
Oh, but they had a Wii U demo kiosk there, so finally...
And they make you pre-order the Wii U before you get
No. Actually, for all the crap we've given GameStop over the years, this particular location is the only one that I've never really had a problem with. They're all really good, and the gal that helped me out was really nice, and did her thing where she's like, oh, you have the free card, did you want to get the upgrade? And we're like, nope. She'll, all right, no biggie. And then, you know, kind of rang us up, so I'm like, all right, cool.
She'll be fired soon.
Yeah, she'll be fired soon. But they had a Wii U demo unit. So I finally, after all this talk and stuff, I finally got to put my hands on one of them myself. There wasn't
Did you need hand sanitizer?
Well, yes, it was GameStop. let's not go too crazy about how I may have changed my mind this week.
Purell stat.
I was a little disappointed. The only game you could actually play on it was the Rayman demo. But you know, Alan and I, in looking at that thing, the very first thing we went to was Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect 3. What do they have for Mass Effect 3? And so we're looking at that a little bit, and unfortunately, it was just a bunch of still pictures in succession. It looks really nice. The monitor is great, but I'm like, oh, Alan, this is optimized. It's a gaming monitor. It's not going to look that crisp on the TV. But it was – I will say this. The tablet itself was bigger than I was expecting. I was kind of impressed with the size of the tablet. I didn't – like, I just hadn't seen one or held it in my hands before. I was a little
– Size isn't
everything.
But in this case, it helped.
You hadn't held one that big before?
Shut up. You guys are jerks.
Why are we going down? It's the Wii U. Why are we making jokes about Wii? Oh.
Because who are you talking to?
This is a family show.
Yeah, a really dysfunctional family.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we'll talk a little more about our gaming weeks. I'll tell you a little more about what we did do on that Wii U and so forth. And a game that I have been playing on PlayStation Vita that's not this demo, as well as a game you may have seen the review already on VOG, but I want to talk a little more about it on tonight's show. So we'll talk about that. Also, things that are going on in the industry. Zynga, that's the company we should ask your friend about was Zynga, because they are so interesting. And I can't think of a better word to describe Zynga than interesting. But things are continuing at Zynga this week. They're suing somebody. This one may or may not be kind of justified. And we're going to ask our listeners tonight, and you may have already seen this on Facebook and Google+, where do you think Zynga's niche in history is going to end up? You know, it's a very controversial company. So we're going to talk a little bit about
that.
As far as Xbox is concerned, they're getting rid of Twitter and Facebook. Does anyone seem to care? We'll talk about why.
They had Twitter and Facebook?
Exactly. Come on, Bobby. Didn't you make that tweet?
Yeah.
Everybody did that tweet.
I did the one tweet.
Hi from my Xbox 360.
I never did that.
Done.
I never did that.
You barely ever turn on your Xbox 360. It wasn't until Mass Effect came out.
And then what did I do?
Got it. You were like, this sucks. I want it on my PC.
Exactly.
And the game review that was posted on VOG, because I do want people to go see it, Dance Central 3. Rob reviewed Dance Central 3 and did a very good job of it.
Thank you very much. And it is a good game. Remember, a B+ is a great score.
Yes.
Record. I have done something new today in a video game.
What did you do today in a video game?
I took my freshly patched Mass Effect 3 that doesn't want to connect and hex edited it for the console.
Well,
myself.
I'm sorry, hon, but you have not lived until you've booty popped in front of the camera on Dance Central 3. So I had the better gaming week.
I haven't lived.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby. Good night.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. We actually have a pre-recorded interview about an upcoming first-person Magic user game. And we'll tell all about it. It's an independently produced game from here in Georgia that is a pre-recorded interview, but we will be airing it next week. And we'll also be talking about other stuff as well. It's not just going to be that interview. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or the MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. If you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show's numbers have been going up, so thank you, everybody, for everything you've done. And I could not make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, DJ Morpheus, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Rob Roberts, The Rob D, VX Jason XV, The Blue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, Acidic Vampire, Act Deft, Alf Cananagram, Bob Coffee, Breakman, Burr, Chicago, Cita Bria, Critical Myth, D5T, DDR Dollar Bill, Degenerate Johnny, Dungeon Buster, Frisbee, GK128, Havoc978, Immortal King, Infinel, Kazan, Mako, Matt Q, Melted General, Monster B, MXT, Nate4322, Put Pocket, Raginator, She-Hulk, Sonder, SSJ100, Matt, Technus, Tigerclaw, Toagak, Vandy, and Zether. I really should probably put the chat thing on the closer monitor instead of trying to read like all the way halfway across the room. I know you guys don't care about how my monitor is. I will be back next week and not talking about my monitor setup, I promise. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.